Genesis chapter 21. And as you are turning there in your Bibles, Genesis 21, let me just remind you, those who are regular attenders at Bethel, those who were here last Sunday morning, we talked about the subject of who is your one. And I hope and pray that you've been thinking about that. I hope that you've been praying about that. Who is the one person that God is leading you to share the gospel with in the next year? And we're going to spend some more time looking at that next Sunday morning. So be thinking about that. Be contemplating that question over and over again. You're going to hear more about that. Who is your one? But this morning, we're going to do something a little bit different. As we think about Mother's Day, we're going to talk about mothers this morning. And I heard a story about a young man who was walking through a supermarket. He was just going through, picking up some items, and he noticed that there was a little older lady that was kind of following him around, and kind of freaked him out a little bit. You know, this lady was kind of following around. He'd go to the produce aisle, and she was there, and then he'd go over to the milk section, and she was there. And finally, as he got to the checkout line, she got in front of him in the checkout line, and she began a conversation. She said, "Son," she said, I just want you to know, please don't feel bad that I was staring at you while you were in the grocery store. She said, "You just look so much like my son, who I haven't seen in a very long time." And he said, "Well," he said, "I'm really sorry to hear that." He said, "Is there anything that I can do for you?" And she said, "Yes." She said, "As I'm leaving," she said, "it would really make me feel good. It would really make me be encouraged if, as I'm leaving, you will just say goodbye, Mother. That would just make me feel so good." And so that's exactly what he did. She left, and as she was leaving, he kind of looked at her and said, "Goodbye, Mother." And she turned around and waved at him and blew him a kiss. He walked back up to the checkout counter, and the guy said, "That'll be $127.50. He said, "How could that possibly be? I didn't buy that much stuff." And he said, "Well, your mother said that you'd pay for her bill when you left." Well, many mothers are blessed with families that resemble the Cleavers and Leave It to Beaver. But many other mothers aren't as fortunate and face difficult times. Mother's Day is a special day for many of us. It's a day where we kind of think about the warm feelings. We maybe conjure up images of Norman Rockwell and all the picket fences and going to church and the white building and all of those types of things. But for others, it's not quite the same. Mother's Day in our 21st century culture awakens to a different world than Norman Rockwell days of old. We don't live in a Norman Rockwell world any longer. All the streets in our cities are not swept spotlessly clean every night. There is not an ice cream shop on every corner, although I wish that there was. We don't see happy faces and wide smiles all the time, every time we turn down the road. No, we live in different days. And in many ways, Mother's Day for some is a difficult time. There are a lot of moms in the Bible, and you probably heard sermons. I've preached sermons about some of the moms in the Bible. We talk about the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31. We talk about people like Naomi and Hannah and the Shunammite woman. That we talk about Ruth and the Virgin Mary. We talk about all of them on a regular basis this time of the year, this particular day of the year. But this morning, I want to talk about someone who is a little bit different, someone who is seldom mentioned as a mother, and that is a person by the name of Hagar. And Hagar is an interesting character in the Bible. In fact, my hat goes off to her this morning. She teaches us a lot about overcoming, especially in the world of single moms. This woman was hardworking. She was in a difficult situation. Her husband had abandoned her and her son, and there she is And she's a wonderful picture of us, of God's grace and God's mercy and God's compassion. And so I want to take a few moments this morning to look at her story and just think about this modern day motherhood. If you have a copy of God's Word, let's stand together in honor of reading God's Word this morning. And I want to begin at verse 14. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Let that image sink in for just a moment. He sent her away. She is wandering in the wilderness. When the water and the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot, for she said, "Let me not look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Get up, lift up the boy, and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went, and she filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Father, thank you so much that your word is true, and your word is powerful. Thank you so much, God, that your word shows us all of the wonderful things about life, about mothers, about fathers. But God, your word also shows us the difficult things. And I believe that this is one of those examples. And I pray, God, that Hagar's example would encourage someone this morning. May you speak to us through your word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Let me share with you three things about how Hagar's story teaches us about how to be an overcomer. Number one, I want you to notice the hurt of many modern mothers. Notice the hurt of many modern mothers. This passage of Scripture is so real, and it's so raw at the same time. Let me just review the situation for you, just in case you need a refresher course. Abraham was married to Sarah, and Abraham and Sarah could not conceive. They were not able to have children, and they had tried for many, many years. And finally, at a particular moment, Sarah basically gives up and says to Abraham, "Here is my servant Hagar." And she says, "You go to her, and she will provide you a son." And so Abraham does just that. Abraham has relations with Hagar as a result of his impatience and as a result of not trusting God during that difficult situation. And as a result of that coming together with Hagar, a baby is born to them by the name of Ishmael. And the Bible says that these were difficult days. As you can imagine, there was jealousy that took place in the house once Abraham and Sarah did eventually conceive. Once they did eventually give birth to Isaac, there was great jealousy that took place in the house. And so Sarah looked upon Hagar with jealous eyes in her heart. She looked upon Ishmael and she basically says, "Send them away. Send them away." And God listens, and God agrees that it's probably best that they go away. And so that's where we come to this passage of Scripture. We come to this passage of Scripture, and the Bible says that Abraham rose early in the morning. He took bread and a skin of water, and he gave it to Hagar. He put it on her shoulder along with the child and sent her away. Just look at those words. He sent her away. She was on her own, friends. She had no one to help her. She had no one to make decisions except for herself. She had no one to fix the car or to fix the leaky faucet. She had no one that was there to call upon whenever Ishmael was going through the terrible twos or the trying threes or the difficult teenage years. She was alone. Anybody here see her hurt? Anybody see her difficult situation she was facing? I mean, when you read this passage of Scripture, the Bible says further that she wandered in the wilderness. When I read that word wandered, I think about the loneliness that she must have felt. I mean, I've been in Israel, and I've seen the wilderness. I've seen the desert, and I just can't imagine what that must have been like. This means that she had no real direction. She did not know where she was going, nor where she would end up. She had no purpose in life, and I believe that she was hurting. She had been sent away. She had been rejected. Now she was on her own, and there are many modern mothers today who can identify with Hagar. And not only that, verse 15 says that not only was she hurting, but her physical needs started to become a reality as well. She was sent out with just a skin of water, and so now the water is gone, and it's bad enough to be hurting. Now her supplies are running out, and she becomes hungry. She becomes thirsty. Her resources are running dry. And not only that, but I can imagine that the emotional strain that was being complicated by the physical strain that she was under. And then look at verse 16. If this isn't a hopeless situation, I don't know what is. She went and sat down opposite him after she put him in the bushes, a good way off. And she said, "Let me not look on the death of this child." That's pretty raw, friends. I mean, you don't read that very often and have happy feelings. You don't read that very often and have good feelings, do you? This is sad. This is a hopeless situation. I mean, I just can't imagine what she must have been going through as she lays her child there in those bushes and she steps back and she looks at him and thinks to herself, "I'm going to have to watch him die." No, this is not your typical Proverbs 31 sermon. This is real life. Amen? This is real life. She put the boy under a tree. She goes off a distance. And listen, she is mourning. She is hurting. Does anybody here identify with that? Does anybody here identify with what she was going through? Is there anyone here who goes into the privacy of their bedroom and shuts the door and just sits down and sobs? You don't have to raise your hand. That's okay. But I know it's reality. I know it's a reality because this is life. And we all go through trials. We all go through difficulties. We all go through struggles. And Hagar is just a microcosm of what that looks like. Listen, Hagar thought her child would die. And she goes off and she's weeping. The end of verse number 16, she sat there and she lifted up her voice and she wept. I know this morning there are many mothers who have shed tears over their children. I know in this room, a size like this, there are many mothers who have shed tears over their children who have been going through sicknesses. And you've been praying for them and crying over the sickness that they're going through. I know that there are many mothers who have cried and wept over children that are wayward, that have gone a different direction in which you have trained them up. I know that there are many mothers who have cried and wept over children who are in danger. Mothers have hidden their tears when harsh words have been spoken. Mothers have prayed through their tears when wounded and broken. Mothers have waited long years for their children to come back. Mothers have cried to the God of heaven whom their children have rejected. But in that hour, listen, friends, God heard her prayers. And in that hour, God will hear your prayers as well. Hello? Y'all with me this morning? I know it's sad. I know it's a difficult passage of Scripture to read, but I want you to see there is hope for the modern mother as well. You see, if I just stopped this sermon right here at this moment, it would be sad. And you could just look sad like you're looking right now. But I want you to know that there is hope for the modern mother. Look at verses 17 and 18. I want you to see the second point. Look at this. And God heard the voice of the boy. I don't know if you underline your Bibles or not. It's up to you, but that's a great word, isn't it? God heard the voice of that boy. He heard him crying out. And listen, God hears our voices today. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said, "What troubles you, Hagar?" God already knew, friends. God already knew what was troubling her. God knows everything, right? He is sovereign over all things. He said that. He asked that question so that she would realize that he was in control. Who was the angel of the Lord? Most people believe this was, in fact, a Christophany. This was a visit of the pre-incarnate Christ, Jesus, to Hagar. We see this happening all throughout the Old Testament. We see the pre-incarnate Christ, Jesus, walking in the fiery furnace. We see him shutting the lion's mouth as Daniel's in the lion's den. And we often see that he is there to provide hope in a hopeless situation. And he provides this hope for Hagar as he speaks to her and he gives her a word of hope. Isn't it interesting that the Lord tells her that he hears the prayers or the voice of Ishmael, her son? One of the things that tugs at the heart of God are the prayers of children. What mother, what father here this morning does not want to hear these words spoken to us? Fear not, God has heard your prayers. Isn't that good? Fear not, he says, for God has heard your prayers. Next, the Lord told her to do something. He said to her there in that passage of Scripture, he says, "Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is." He says in verse 18, look at it. He says, "Get up, up, lift up the boy, hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation." I just say something here about the importance of holding on to your children. He says, lift him up. Grab him by the hand. You know, so many of us, we need to be reminded this morning of the importance of lifting up our children. Listen, moms and dads that are here this morning, you need to be your children's number one cheerleader. You need to be your children's number one influencer and encourager. It doesn't matter if they're 5 years old or 50 years old. You need to be that person that is their number one cheerleader. I want to teach you moms and dads five critical words that every parent needs to know this morning. Five critical words that every parent needs to not just know but needs to say on a regular basis. And don't just say them because the pastor said to say them. All right, you ready for them? I am proud of you. Those five words. I am proud of you. I believe that those five words can lift a child's heart more than just about any other words today. And our children need to know that they are, that you are proud of them. And no matter what they're doing, no matter what they're up, no matter what their lives are taking them, direction they're taking them, they need to know that you support them and that they have value and that they have worth. Listen, this world is doing everything that it can to beat our children down. Doing everything that they can to push them down. And we need to make sure that we stand up and give them encouragement along the way. He says to her, lift them up. Lift him up. And then look at verse 18. Again, she lifts him up. Can you just see the picture in your mind? She goes over to those bushes and she picks up that little boy. And she holds him by the hand. And she starts to walk with him. Verse 18, it says, he says, hold him fast with your hand. I get the picture that she picks him up and she begins to walk with him. And she leads him by example. And she takes him by the hand and shows him the way in which he should go. And one of the greatest hopes of our lives, one of the greatest hopes of this passage of Scripture is that God is with us and that God will be with us as we parent our children. There's a great hope this morning for parents. But number three, I want you to see there is the promise to the modern mother. The promise to the modern mother. Look what happens, verse 19. Then God opened up her eyes and she saw a well of water. Listen, I believe that well of water was there all along. But she was so despondent, so discouraged, so upset that she could not see it. And yet here God is. Listen, God became her provider. He became her provider. Abraham had given her a wineskin that was filled with water, but God gave her a well, friends. Think about that. Abraham gives her a wineskin, just means a little bit of water. But God says, there's a well. I don't know much about wells, but I know wells are deep. And I know wells usually have a great deal of water, a lot more water than a wineskin does. Listen, God is our provider. Open up your eyes, he says. Here's a woman who is agonizing because she did not have the resources necessary. All the while, there was a well that was nearby. And listen, a well is so very important in the desert times. She needed to see that. And God opened up her eyes to see that. The well had been there the entire time, but Hagar just simply didn't see it. It was overlooked until God pointed it out. How many times have you and I been in situations where hope seemed almost gone until God showed up? How many times have we been in situations where hope seemed like it was lost until God showed up and opened up our eyes so that we could see that there is hope? God opened up Hagar's eyes. And he showed her the well, but she still had to do three things. You see, God does show us things sometimes, but he also gives us responsibilities as well. What did she do? She had to, first of all, draw water, and then she had to drink it herself, and then she had to pass it along to her son. Listen, God provided. Aren't you glad God provides today? God provides us all that we need. Moms that are discouraged, God is there to provide encouragement. God is there to provide moms that are weak, God's there to provide strength. God is our provider. He provided that well. He provided that resource in order to sustain her and her son. God is our provider this morning. And he will provide everything that we need. Look at verse 20. He also gives her a great promise. It says, and God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. What did God say previously? Previously, God said, I'm going to make out of Ishmael a great nation. I believe that Hagar took that promise to heart. She not just heard that promise, but she believed that promise. She trusted in that promise. Our Lord is always on the side of the oppressed. God delights in coming to rescue those who have been cast out. And she heard that and she believed that. And we see that woven throughout all the New Testament. Think for a moment about the woman at the well. God came to her. She was a cast out, but God came to her rescue. Think for a moment about the man in Jericho by the name of Bartimaeus who had been cast out to the side of the road, but Christ came to him and rescued him. There was a woman in Jerusalem about to be stoned to death and a cast out of society, but the Lord Jesus came to her and rescued her. There is a strange sense in which God always comes to the rescue of the oppressed. He comes to this woman, Hagar. And he gives her hope, and he gives her a promise, and he does the same thing for you. Listen, if you don't hear anything else that I say this morning, let me remind you today that God is with you. God is with you. If you're a single mom that's here today, let me remind you, let me encourage you, take comfort in these words. God is with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Oh, I love this passage. I love the hope that we see there in that passage. He knew exactly what Hagar needed to hear, and he knows exactly what we need to hear as well. You see, God gave her strength to go on. And the last verse, verse 21, reminds us of the influence that she had upon his life. Listen, moms, you have a great influence on your children's lives. It says there that she stayed with him in the wilderness. He lived in the wilderness, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. He gave her strength to go on. He gave her endurance. She had a lasting influence upon his life. Until it was time for him to be married, she stood with him, and then she released him to his wife. Hagar instilled love and respect and forgiveness to Ishmael. There's an interesting sideline of this passage of Scripture. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 9, we read about the death of their father. And we read about the death of his father. And the Bible says that Ishmael and Isaac go together to bury their father. Think about that for just a moment. Ishmael went back to show respect because of his mother's persistence. So Ishmael grows up and becomes the father of a great nation. And I think it all goes back to Hagar. It all goes back to Hagar and how Hagar was willing to trust in God. And when God said, fear not, and he said, pick up your child, and she reaches down and she picks him up. It's a great picture for us today of what it looks like to be obedient to God. Listen, friends, on Mother's Day, let us be reminded that there are people that are hurting. There are people that are hungry. There are people that are hopeless. Let us take our hats off this morning to the fight of many mothers. Let us join together this morning in prayer and for encouragement. And let us acknowledge today the hope that is found, not just for mothers, but for all people. A hope that's for all people. Perhaps this morning you're not a single mom. Perhaps this morning you're not enduring rejection. Perhaps this morning that you're not even a mother. But like her, you're wandering in the desert. Like her, you're wandering in the desert. You seem to have no direction. You seem to have no purpose. You seem to have no peace. Let me encourage you this morning to follow her example. Call upon God. And I believe that He will open up your eyes as well. And He will show you the well of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Would you join me in prayer? As we bow our heads together this morning, we want to acknowledge today that there may be some in this room who are hurting. It may be a mom, it may be a dad, it may be a child, a student this morning. Maybe you feel abandoned, maybe you feel alone, maybe you feel hopeless. I want to come before you this morning and with confidence today to tell you that God is here and God wants to come alongside of you. He wants to help you. He wants to be your encourager. He wants to be your strength. He wants to be your living hope. Would you come to Jesus this morning? Come to Jesus and say, here I am. With all my hurts, with all my pain, with all my discouragement, I come to you, Jesus, and receive the gift of hope this morning. Father, I thank you so much for Hagar. Thank you, God, for the example that she shows us in your word. And God, I pray that you'd help us this morning, God, to be able to apply some of this to our own lives. Father, for those who are here today who are hurting, struggling, discouraged, Father, I pray that this passage of Scripture, this word from God, would be encouragement to them today to not give up, and to keep pressing forward with the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, may you speak to our hearts this morning. For those who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, may today be a day of repentance and of coming to Jesus. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Help us, God, to respond to you and to your word today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing an invitation hymn. If God's spoken to your heart about any decision that you need to make today, maybe it's a decision to trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Maybe it's the decision to join our church family. Maybe you just need to pray. Sometimes that's all we need to do, isn't it? We just need to pray. You can pray right where you're standing. Or, if you so choose, you can come and pray right here. I know I say that a lot. I know a lot of people don't come. That's okay. If you don't feel like coming, that's okay. But if you feel like coming, sometimes it just does us, our hearts good just to kneel and just call out to God. Whatever your decision, let's respond this morning to God's word as we sing together.